Buddha, should the Dharma, should the Sangha. Nowadays, with the availability, the easy availability of ready availability of all kinds of information, and with the relative ease, at least for more affluent people, of travel and the like, people can acquire bits of information and visit places that years ago they could not have acquired or could not visit or could only have done so with great effort. It's easy for people who easily acquire information and who easily can visit different places to think that in doing this they are really learning something. But of course, to really truly learn something, you have to put in some effort. And in general, to become good at anything, you have to make a commitment and put in effort. And do it over time. To acquire real skill or expertise in any field, including religion, you have to do your time, put in your time, put in your effort, do serious study. Also, you have to progress from simpler things to more complex things. In any good course of study, in any field, will work in this way. When you are learning mathematics, for example, you start with the simplest elements, counting, adding, subtracting, multiplying, dividing, learning the numbers, the names of the numbers, how to manipulate the symbols in the simplest of ways. Learning the basic geometric shapes, learning the simplest kinds of formulas that apply to those shapes. Then this foundation of knowledge can be built on pretty well endlessly. I read years ago about one of the big German companies, I think it might have been a company like Mercedes-Benz. Anyway, they take in apprentices, whatever the company was, they take in apprentices in their metal working shop. And the first thing they give an apprentice to do, who's going to be a machinist, they give him a piece of steel and a file and a vise, and they have him file on that piece of steel, I think it's for something like a month, until that piece of steel is perfectly flat. You have to start with the basics and get good at the basics. Same thing in learning musical instrument, learning musical composition. Same thing in painting, in all the arts, dance, singing, everything. It all begins with simpler elements and builds upon a foundation of the simpler elements. And this is true in religion too. That's how we learn to train. Fortunately, we don't have to master it all at once. We can take it a bit at a time. And then it's not like you discard those simpler building blocks. You're always using them as the basis of everything you do. There's no fundamental difference between the zazen, the meditation of a new trainee, and of the greatest Zen master. Yet it may be many years before the new trainee comes to have any experience of that deeper samadhi that is very, very familiar to the great Zen master. And still, the fundamental act is exactly the same. This is also true of the precepts. It's certainly true of bowing. If you look at the elements of our training, the work we do in our daily lives, mindfulness training, meditation, perceptual practice, it's all simple. There's nothing, you don't have to be any kind of genius to work this out. It doesn't require any great intellectual brilliance at all. Putting it into practice, however, is hard work. And to do it well, and to really have its deep effect on one's life, one has to be applying it all the time, day in and day out, year in and year out. Sometimes I realize that I presume too much about what people know and what they've experienced of our training when I do a Dharma talk or when I write something about training. I sometimes forget that unless people have actually come to a Zen monastery and trained in that context, necessarily they're missing a lot of the picture. They may convince themselves that they are not, but they are. And even if people have spent a lot of time training in a monastery, if they have not made a deep commitment to this path that is being followed there, they will miss most of what is really happening. You cannot take it in until your heart is truly open to it. And your heart cannot be truly open to it while you are holding something back. This may be why many Zen masters don't say much at all and don't write much at all. I tend to take the point of view, well, you throw enough mud and some might stick. And I certainly heard River Master, I learned that saying from River Master, and she seemed to take that point of view too. And I think I have an increasing appreciation why some Zen masters take a different point of view and are much more sparing with their teaching. That really is just a matter of style of teaching. Both for the new trainees and for the most experienced trainees, I would strongly advise do not ever underestimate the importance of what can somewhat mistakenly, I think, be called the basics. The fundamental principles of our training, the basic elements of our training. Formal sitting meditation. Bowing. training in the precepts, training in the refuges, working meditation, ceremonial. Don't think that more is needed than these simple elements. Don't think that any of them can be dispensed with. They all are parts of a single functioning, amazingly well integrated whole that has been developed over hundreds and hundreds of years. No one person developed this way of training or invented it. It evolved over centuries. And in the hands of a really great Zen master like Rig Master Jiyu, it comes fully to life and is experienced by those fortunate enough to train with her. In great majesty. And beauty. And depth. One of the great Chinese ancestors, one of the great Chinese Zen masters, one of the earliest Zen masters said, the way is only difficult to those who pick and choose. Do not like, do not dislike. All will then be clear. That's Zen Master Kanchi Sosan, by the way. We're going to do this training fully and allow it to help us as it can do so profoundly. We have to accept the whole thing and do the whole thing. And at the very heart of it all is the living transmission from master to disciple.